session number 10635, rule 2.
Mrs. Waddle, are you too? Can you tell me a story, funny story, I think, which you have about an attempt to deceive the Germans?
Yes. It was just before a few days before Warsaw race. I went from the walk in center of the Warsaw when I meet my colleague from another company, Bozidar, and he was looking to hire the rickshaw. It was a kind of transport we'd been using during the Warsaw occupation. And he asked me, and he must change the address for his magazine of arms. Can I help him? I say, of course I could help him. We went, we hired the rickshaw, we went to the house, and the boys start to bring wooden barrels, very heavy and packed on the rickshaw, and ask the rickshaw man, can he transport this jam to another address? And I sat on top of these wooden barrels, and the rickshaw man realized it was not a jam, but a very, very heavy arms and grenades. And how he start to, cycle very, very quickly. The guard of three boys or four boys couldn't manage to run so quickly with the pistols in the pockets. The people been standing in the few streets looking for this funny cavalcade. Thanks God we arrived safely to the address to deliver this arm. And of course the other boys been waiting to receive this one. Rickshaw man was paid very handsomely for this journey. And the poor boy, sweating, said to me, oh, this jam was a very, very fresh and hot. It was so heavy.
You were talking about the unity of Polish people under the occupation, but do you personally remember any instances of people who betrayed the resistance?
Yes. Yes, my company in command of my signals company was betrayed by police. He was half Jew. He was quite well off, and they came to under pretense to arrest him. But they want only money. What, thanks God, we have just a few thousand at home, and this Polish detective was paid. But anyhow, this was later on to transfer to the headquarters of Polish army, and I probably did deal with him. I don't know in which way or so on, but only I've been asked to go and help to recognize this man.
Was that the only instance you can remember?
It is about betraying. It was because in a few things what I could hear, not went through myself. In my house, because it is a big house when you have a lot of flats, in one apartment it was a family of Jewish people living, hiding, and they've been betrayed. What I witnessed, but thanks God, the two little boys, twins brother, about 10 years old, was so funny. Then when the Germans police came to arrest this family, he said then they will not allow them inside because they are small and they must bring the concierge, what you can call a housekeeper, with them. Then they will open the door. When the German went down from third floor to the big in the big house to the housekeeper, the boys took the keys from the loft, put the Jewish family in the loft, and when the German came, they opened, but nobody in. It was in the house when I live. And we know of, do you know, of people who live in this house, we know about this accident.
Did you, during the occupation, did you think that the Germans could win the war?
No. This one I never think for one moment.
Why not?
Because I think the big aggression and it was my personal view that I never doubt, I don't know how many years and so on, but I never have a doubt that the Germans will not win.
Even at the beginning in 39-40 when they had conquered nearly everybody?
It was a bit difficult, but being in underground movement, we have radios, but we listen very often to the London. We've been joking, then we could give a millions zlotych to be in London in this time. But we have a news, you know, of resistance in other countries. No, I never for one moment have doubts that the German will win the war, no.
Can we go on to the Warsaw Rising now?
Yes.
And can you tell me when you realized that a rising was about to take place? When did you personally understand that it was going to come off?
It was about 2 weeks before the Warsaw race start. Everybody start to be rushed, to be prepared. The arms, magazines, do you know, food for the Warsaw race, the what you call Red Cross, and all preparing the special bandages and ask for the medicine and so on to be ready. We realize it is very near, but about 3 or 4 days before Warsaw race, we've been on stand call. Then it was necessary to stay in one place to be ready. Say, Pluton was in section. One section was in one address. Another section was in another address. But when they've been on call, it was 24 hours they must stay in this flat. It was about 3 or 4 days before Warsaw race. And then courier been ready to very quickly to contact them. Then we start.
Whereabouts in Warsaw were you when it started?
I was in Mokotów. Because the Warsaw race start 5 o'clock. But I have a news about what we call hour of the W, we call Godzina W, 5 o'clock in the evening. I have this news about between 11 and 12. Then I have a time to go from center of the Warsaw to the Mokotów, where our Baszta was planned to fight.
Can you take me through the rising in chronological order, describing what you saw and did? Can you give an account of it?
I could. My first place, it was to be in Mokotów with headquarters of battalion with to be courier to another battalions. But before the wars start, the fighting start, I was sent back to my signal company, what was placed in quite far corner of the Mokotów, and traveling from the headquarters of the battalion to my own company. I went through the preparation. I have seen, do you know, the boys walking on the streets, looking for the places when they plan to fight. And when I arrived to my headquarters of my signals company, it was already the telephone connection box. We have only a very small one. we couldn't manage to snatch from Germans bigger one. We have only on about 10 lines. But it was enough when they start to fight to have to connect few battalions, you know, with the headquarters. And it was already connected. But when Warsaw race starts, you know, it was in such a movement, the headquarters of battalions, and so move so quickly, then our connection in first few days was not very efficient. We start our connection, telephone connection and so on, but through the fighting, the lines were very often cut and the places change so quickly. Then after about 5-6 days, we can organize the proper work of our telephones and our shortwave
What do you remember next?
What about which? In which? Oh, I can remember when it was they can have attacks of the big concentration of Germans, like one of the school in Kazimierzowska and so on. Then when I was sitting on this connection, telephone connection box, then I could listen, do you know, and something happened because very quickly I was connecting. And, you know, being telephonist, you can listen sometimes what's happened. Then I've been quite well, my knowledge of what's happened was quite good, where attack is coming this night or what time and so on. And very often, you know, the other telephonists would be not very skillful to connect very quickly. Then I was sitting to connect, then I knew it was before attack.
Can you remember any specific pieces of news about the fighting which came your way?
Oh, quite a lot, but I don't know in which connection. It was a fighting when we couldn't, you know, get to this big school, Kazimierzowska, or somebody been killed, like a commanding company, or, you know, so many people been killed. Then this news has been coming through, you know, through the telephone.
How optimistic were you at first?
First few days, it was completely disorganized. The boys been running from on the street, from houses to the houses, and just after two, 3 weeks, the organization of Bashta was very good, I would say very good. We guard our part of the Mokotów quite well. The services like hospitals and, you know, all this been organized quite well. The wounded people been looking very well after. And they start plan to finish, do you know, what we call the part when the German keep it in blocks of in more schools or Dvorkova, it was a block of the houses. Our headquarters probably start to organize to have attack on these places. But it was just about after 2-3 weeks of the beginning of the Warsaw race. I can have the organization about, they start to organize quite well the kitchens for the soldiers, the, you know, communal kitchens, when the soldiers could have, you know, meals delivery to the point when they've been fighting on this outskirts of the Mokotów. These 3-4 weeks in Warsaw race was very well, quite, I would say, from this possibility what we have, it was quite well organized.
So how close was the fighting to where you personally were located?
Half a kilometer.
What was the name of the street that you were on?
I was in the street of Malczewskiego, first in Pilicka, then Malczewskiego, And headquarters was on the corner of from us, because we've been signal company, when we've been very close to headquarters, was Krasińskiego. And we've been very lucky, because our quarters was in the villa of very rich people. Huge factories of chocolate belongs to them. Then we have quite good quarters.
So what kind of living conditions did you have as far as food and comforts were concerned?
We have a delivery food, mostly soup, been delivery from the communal kitchen by boys. But every company organized with help of civilians. A lot of ladies been helping us with vegetables, fruits from the gardens, and they cook extra for us. Then the boys on the beginning of the Warsaw race been not hungry. Sleeping quarters, because our villa was not big enough to sleep whole company, they've been sleeping in the neighbors' houses. The people been giving the free the rooms and bedding and everything for the boys. It was not difficult.
Can you tell me what you thought about the help that you got from outside, or the lack of help that you got from outside, either from the west or from the east?
You are asking my personal opinion or the opinion of the others?
No, your own my personal opinion.
When we have a few, delivery of from Russian, they've been, I think, they are just across the Vistula, and probably they will come to help us. But when the time went on, I personally think that we can't expect the help from this side. The air raid from the English air force, I witnessed twice, and they've been going mostly to the other side of the Germans. We have not many. We did not receive many of the help, but moral. This for us it was a great, because you think then you're not left alone. Somebody think about us. This was a very great moral support for me. When I have seen this plane above my head, and I remember I received a little tube with condensed milk from this, it was a moral help.
So which parts did the RAF drop to mainly?
Mainly to the German line.
So the supplies landed amongst the Germans?
Germans, yes.
Were there any foreigners that you remember amongst the Home Army forces?
Foreigner in our Home Army. When I was wounded, first aid gave me a Russian doctor, but he was what you call white Russian, living in Poland quite a lot.
A refugee.
Refugee from the revolution. It was a Russian doctor who gave me first aid. And in our company, it was what you call Volksdeutsch. His name was Karlik. He was working for us, for the Signals Army company, quite a few years, from 1943 to 1944. What's happened? He was forced to be Volksdeutsch, because he was cut on beginning of the war with the radio, and his wife, being the from Warsaw, say, but you are from the Śląsk, Silesia. Then say, then you are the Volksdeutsch. And she saved her life and his life. And he was dealing something with German cinema. And from him, before the Warsaw race, we received a lot of lamps for our UKF and for our instruments. This was I very often I was carrying this with his wife to our place when they've been constructing this workshop. And during the Warsaw race, he was a very brave man. He was with another of from my company, courier through the canal to the headquarters in the Warsaw city. To the Suez. This is the other foreigner, what you can, but it is not foreigner, he was from Silesia.
Can you tell me how the rising came to an end, as far as you personally were concerned?
It was a huge... First 2 weeks, we have one day sometimes 17 error rates. So frequent, and really it was not necessary to leave the, you know, the
shelter.
To leave the shelter. But we start to we have bombardments from the heavy artillery, which was placed on the rail, you know, the very heavy. And start quite big bombardments about 2 weeks before end. And then the Germans start to advance. I wasn't not in fighting, but I was aware when, you know, the our territory start to shrunk. And then, being the signals, we start to lose the contact with some company and so on. Then we knew it is something wrong. Then the beginning is the end, you know, it's the beginning of the end. 3 days before end, the German been advancing very, very near us, because some boys from my company have seen the, in the helms on the other streets, and headquarters left, what was very near us, left to go to the center of the Mokotów. Then my chief in command of the company ordered to withdraw. And because I was the head of the platoon of the girls, I was withdrawing last before him. It was such an organization. Then the command is withdrawn the last. Because I was the in command of the girls, I was withdrawing before him. And this was, I was wounded from the very heavy railway
shell.
And I was saved by my command because I was not aware, and he probably pushed me, and I fell to the ground, and I was only wounded in my leg, in the back leg. But other way, probably I would be killed.
So were you then captured?
No, I was carried by the boys to the middle of the, on the center of the Mokotów. Well, they give me the first aid. And I stay another 2 days. My company joined this part of the Mokotów too. And in 27th on the night to 28th of September, we have a command to go to the Suez, to withdraw to the center of the Warsaw, and they didn't want to leave me. I was wounded, but they didn't want to leave me. And they bandaged my wounds very well, plastered it with all the plasters, not to be skeptical in the Suez, and we start to withdraw in the night, what was awful night, because we walk on the path when it was mostly ruin, and a lot of bodies, and then you wait about 2-3 hours to jump to the Suez. 2 boys been laying down near the open Suez. and because the Germans been putting lights all the time to have a shoot through this street when we've been jumping, we only could jump when there was no light. Then we wait, was light out, then very quickly we went to the sewers and two boys help us under the arm and push us down. First was awful because the sewers also very narrow. You only could crawl. And then you come to the bigger part of the sewers when you could walk. And very unfortunately, I was separated from my company because from which street, but the Germans put a few grenades and a lot have been wounded, they've been killed and so on. And unfortunately, part of my company went to the forwards. And because I was wounded, I was one of the last few. I stay behind and it started a nightmare, what my journey back. And
were you by yourself?
It was a lot of boys, but from different company. I was myself cut, yes? And I was completely alone, surrounded with other boys from different regiments, from different companies. And we start to walk back, what was against nightmare, because all this entrance to the sewers been completely blocked. We couldn't find out the way. We lost our way to went out. And I've been good 26 hours in the sewers, and in the end I and about 4 or 5 boys, we pick up the part of the sewers to went on very nasty place, what they called Vorkova, what was surrounded by Germans. It was a huge headquarters of Germans, and the Germans start to call us in Polish, come here. They help us to go out in this Dvorkova. And when we look around, it was all this little field covered completely with bodies of our friends. And they've been executed us there. I have a